Our theme this year is the whole Bible to the whole world. The whole Bible to the whole world. Now that's a great task when you think about it. The world's large. Now the Bible, we have. But the world's large. You begin to think about people who live all the way on the other side of the world. You know, it's a great task to think about taking this gospel to those that are around the world. But I think it can be accomplished with God's power. It can be accomplished with God's strength. We can take this gospel out. And over the next few weeks, I hope to encourage you as we examine the book of Acts. Now, we'll primarily be in Acts chapter 8. The first few sermons are going to be from this morning will be in Acts chapter 1. We'll be looking at Acts 2, 3, 4 to kind of put the groundwork out there as far as the work that the church was doing. But primarily, here in a few weeks, we'll be in Acts chapter 8 for this series. And we're going to see how the church at Jerusalem took the gospel out. Before we get into this, I'm going to give you some thoughts to consider over the next few weeks. First, they took it seriously. We're not going to take the gospel out if we don't take it seriously. If we don't see it as something that is important, something that is necessary, something that is needed, then we probably won't take it out. We probably won't spread it as a church or as individuals. Secondly, we're going to notice that they worked hard. They put a lot of effort into taking the gospel out. They traveled. They spent their time witnessing to family and friends, and they worked hard to take the gospel out. Third, we're going to see that they never quit. Never quit. Though they were often tested and they were often tried, they were even persecuted at times. The Bible tells us that they continued to take that gospel out. Some were chased from their homes. Some were chased from their cities. But they continued to take the gospel out to the world. They never quit. And also, I think we find fourthly that they trusted in God's power, so they were successful. You see, we're going to find a group of people, the apostles, of course, but also the first members of that early church, trusting in God's power to do God's work, and God blessed them. So I hope and pray that we will not only learn from their example, but we'll be encouraged to follow that same example. That's what the examples are there for, not only for us to learn, but to follow after the pattern. And the Lord will bless us as we serve Him as well. This morning, Acts chapter 1, I'm just going to read one verse, and I want to discuss this verse here in a verse 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He says, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given to us. I thank you for this new year that we have. I pray that you'll bless each one of us as individuals in this new year, but also pray that you'll bless our church as we go forward. Lord, I pray that we will take the gospel out, that you'll give us the wisdom, that you'll provide the open doors for us to be a witness and a testimony. And I pray that you'll prepare hearts and bring us to those that are in need. And I pray that we will see souls saved this year and that you'll work in a mighty way amongst us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we're going to look at the Great Commission, is what it's called. It's found in Matthew. It's found in Mark. It's found in Luke. There's a portion in John, which refers to the Great Commission. And here we find it in Acts chapter 1. And in verse 8, we're going to look at Christ giving His last command to the church. And we're going to examine this last command. We're just going to look at verse 8. It's all we're going to look at for the next few minutes. And I hope and pray this is an introduction, is what this is. An introduction to our series on taking the whole Bible to the whole world. And as we get into this, the first thought I'll give to you, and this is not the, we have 4 points. These are not the 4 points, but the thoughts I'll give to you as we get into this to consider. The first one is, you know, this is Christ's command. This is not something that men have imagined or something that pastors think is good or that we should do. We find here in the Scriptures that we are to take the gospel out. You know, as pastors, we're to follow that command. We're to lead the church after that command and take the gospel out. The second thought I'll give to you is, if we fail in this, we fail in the other areas as well. You know, we can have a church that has all sorts of activities, all sorts of classes, all sorts of teachings. But if we're not taking the gospel out to the lost, then we're not fulfilling the first command that God has given the church, the Great Commission. You see, when we take the gospel out to the lost, not only are we spreading the word of truth, but also when we see souls saved, then we're seeing new people, not only coming into, of course, God's family, but also coming to the church if they're baptized and join the church, and new life in the church. and seeing God work in hearts of people around us. And so we find that this is really the Great Commission. So if we fail in that, then we're failing to follow the Lord's commands. And so as a church, you know, as a pastor, I'm going to say this, and it may sound extreme, but as a church, you know what, if we ever get to the point where we stop taking the gospel out, then we probably should shut all of our other ministries down. We should probably stop everything else we're doing and get our focus back on taking the gospel out. Reaching out to people, because that's the first part of the Great Commission, taking the gospel out. You see, people can't enjoy a life with God if they don't know God as their Savior. People can't live a life without guilt if their sin is not forgiven. And so we need to take the gospel out. This morning, four thoughts here. We see it's broken down. We have a natural division as far as our verse here, as far as this message. He says, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And then he says, "You shall be witnesses unto me both." And then he gives four areas. And this is what I want to look at this morning. Four areas where we're to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. First, he says, in Jerusalem. Now, he's talking to the apostles and he's talking to the first church. We find later about 120-some people were gathered there. And he's telling these people that were in Jerusalem before he ascended into heaven. He's saying, you wait for the Holy Spirit, wait for the Holy Ghost. And when he comes, then you're to take the gospel out. But you're to begin right here in Jerusalem. Right here where you are, right here where you live, with the people around you, take the gospel to them. Now, Jerusalem was the capital city of the nation of Israel. It was the city where a majority of the people, as far as the leaders, resided. You had your religious leaders who lived in Jerusalem. You had your political leaders, for the most part, lived in Jerusalem. Your government and military leaders and business leaders all lived in that area, or close by Jerusalem, where they could travel in and out and conduct business. It was also the city where Jesus Christ was crucified and where he made atonement for sin. And later he would rise up from that grave and conquer death and the grave. You see, this was the city where Jesus secured his great victory over the devil, over the death, and over the grave. But it was also the city, when you think of the apostles and the followers of Jesus, it was the city where they fled in fear. It was a city when Jesus was taken and betrayed. They all left him, abandoned him. Now some followed a little bit further off. We know John and some of them went. Peter followed for a little bit until he denied Christ three times and he took off again. But basically this was the city where they feared for their lives and where Peter denied Jesus Christ. You know, it was a city that produced great fear because of their enemies were great in this city. And until Jesus arose again, the Bible tells us in Acts 1 and at the end of the three gospel or four Gospels, until Jesus arose and presented himself to them, they continued to meet in hiding, is what the Bible tells us. And that was because they were afraid. They feared. You know, I'd be lying to you if I said I wouldn't have feared during that time. Think about it. They took Christ. These men saw that with their own eyes. Took him and crucified him. I imagine some of them may have thought, I'm next. Or we're next. We better stay here. Better hide. So they remained in this city in fear. And this is also the city where they were required to wait afterwards. You see, Jesus came to him and said, you need to wait here until the Holy Spirit arrives and empowers you to take the gospel out. So this is the city where they were to wait. And then afterwards to reach out. Notice it says here, verse 8, ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem. They were commanded to take the gospel out to this city. That means they were to take it to their family members there. I don't know what family members they had. A lot of them were from Galilee, so I don't know if they had relatives there, but the relatives that were there, they were to take the gospel out to their family. You think about family. You know, we're to take the gospel to our family. If you've got family that's lost or without Christ, you're to take the gospel to them. You're to pray for them. You're to look for opportunities to be a witness and a testimony. You see, God will open up doors. We just need to be patient. We need to be diligent when the time comes and allow the Lord to work through us and to be a witness and a testimony. You know, here's a good question when it comes to witnessing to family. If you won't, who will? You ever thought about that? If you're not going to witness to family, who will? They're your family. You see, we need to witness to our family. Also, they were to take the gospel to their friends. Take the gospel to their neighbors. Take the gospel to those that dwelt in that city. Now, this is a city they lived in, where they resided at the moment, where they shopped, where they were entertained. It's where they knew the roads and the homes and the parks and everything else that was in that city. That's the place they were to begin with. You know, this morning, that's where we're to begin. Now, as far as a church, I know we've been taking the gospel out, but we need to continue taking the gospel to our city, to Little Rock and the area around here, taking the gospel to those that live in this area. You see, that's our work. That's what God has called us to do, and we should be faithful in that. And that's what the command was. They're to take the gospel to Jerusalem. Bible tells us they did. Turn the view to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5 and verse 28. We find here, and this is later when they were standing before the leaders here. Some of the apostles were standing and being charged. And it says here in verse 28, saying, "Did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Now think about that for a minute. Think of the accusation that is brought against the apostles and the first church. They didn't say, "Well, you've caused problems because you were rowdy, or you caused problems because you were loud, or you caused problems because you met on street corners." They said, "You filled Jerusalem with your doctrine." Now just stop and think about that for a moment. To fill Jerusalem with their doctrine. You know what that meant? That meant that they took the gospel out to the people. And that people throughout that city knew what they believed. Now they may not have trusted in Christ, but they knew what the apostles believed. They knew what this first church believed because they had told them what they believed. They took the gospel out to their city. You know, that should be something that our church should be guilty of. Central Baptist Church should be guilty of taking the gospel to this city. You know, if the people ever come and say we're guilty of something, it should be because we filled the city with our doctrine. People may not have accepted Christ, that's between them and the Lord, but they know what we believe. And they know that there is a Savior, and that they know that they can have their sins forgiven because we have told them, we have shared it with them. Whether it's through the preaching and teaching of God's Word, whether it's through knocking on doors, whether it's just taking the tract out and giving it to a friend or a family member, or just witnessing to a co-worker when you have an opportunity, or a family member, whatever it is, as members of this church, we're to take the gospel out. Each one of us, take it out. You know, if we all take it out in all the different directions that we go, you think about tomorrow morning, we're all going to go different directions. Some will head towards town, downtown. Some will go east from here. Some will go west from here. Some will stay closer in this area. But if we all go the directions that we go and begin to take the gospel out, then eventually, guess what? It'll be filled. The city will be filled with our doctrine. And we may be surprised how God works. We may be surprised at the power God provides. And we may be surprised at how many trust in Christ as their Savior. So we're going to, Lord willing, fill this city with our doctrine. Someone may be listening to this online, I guess, and planning on having, we'll be guilty of that. But it's something we're going to pray that we'll do, not only this year, but over the next several years. We'll take the gospel out. Now, they were commanded to do this, and the Bible says they did. They filled it with their doctrine. Acts chapter 6, verse 7 says, many of the priests believed, and most of the apostles. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 8. I want you to notice what happened. The church was persecuted, and we're going to talk a lot about this over the next few weeks, Acts chapter 8. But verse 1 says, and Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which is at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So the apostles stayed there. And then in Acts chapter 12, if you'll notice, verse 1, Acts 12 verse 1 says there, now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he sought please the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread, and it continues to tell what took place. The apostles stayed in Jerusalem pretty much through the persecution until James was killed. And then the Bible basically indicates that they went out. They began to take the gospel out. You see, they were diligent. You know, they faced persecution, but they take the gospel to their city. Here's my second thought. We go back into our passage. He says, you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem. And then secondly, he says, and all Judea. Now, Judea was the southern portion of Israel. It was the region around Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the capital city of Judea. And I guess you could say that their work was to expand, basically. They were not to be satisfied with reaching the city. After they took the gospel to the city, they were to continue taking it out. They were to go to the region around them. You see, others needed to hear about the Savior as well, not just those in the city, not just those down the street, not just those they worked with, but everyone needed to hear about Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful I'm saved. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that my sin has been forgiven. That's something we should share with others as well. They need to hear the good news. You know that word gospel means good news. It's the good news of salvation, the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's what this world needs today. I don't know about you, but I think our world needs some good news. We have plenty of discouraging news in our world today. We need some good news, and we have that good news. So the Bible tells us that they were to take the Bible to Judea. Now this, I think, indicates that they were to consider others outside their circle, so to speak. Yes, they were to take it to their city and those that they knew directly, but they were to expand and take it a little bit further to those that lived outside the region, those they may not have been familiar with, strangers, so to speak. They may have known they lived in the land and they had the same nationality, but they didn't know who they were. You see, they would take the gospel to all. You know, it's easy to sit on what we have. That's the problem sometimes with churches. We can have everything as far as the doctrines. We can be a sound church. We can have things figured out as far as what God has given to us. Yet if we fail to tell others about it, we're just hoarding it and holding on to it. And God doesn't want us to do that. You know, this morning, I can tell you this, I am thankful for the one who preached the gospel to me so I could be saved. And I imagine this morning you're thankful for the one who witnessed to you and took the gospel to you so you could be saved and shared the good news with you. So let's share the good news with someone else. Have you ever heard of Fanny Crosby? She was the songwriter. Many of the hymns we have written in our hymn book were written by Fanny Crosby. There's one hymn in particular I want to talk about this morning called Rescue the Perishing. She wrote that hymn. We still sing that today. I know a lot of churches still sing that song. Rescue the Perishing. And she was asked years later about the circumstances. You know, how she wrote it, why she come to write it, what had happened, you know, did the Lord lay it upon her heart and so forth. And she went on to tell the story. And she explained this. She said it was written following, she said, a personal experience that she had at the New York City Bowery Mission is what it was called. She said that she would go down there and visit and she would teach a group of boys. She called them her boys, is what she called them. It was a group of boys and that would gather together at that mission and she would teach them. And she said one night while speaking to them, she said it just was impressed upon her heart that one of them there was not right with God. That she didn't know. She just said it was impressed upon her heart. So she said this. Here's what she said. She said as she was speaking, she said, I made a plea to each one that night as I was teaching to get things right with God. Well, at the end, she said, at the end of the service, a young man came up to her and said, Miss Crosby, can I speak to you? And she said, yes. She said, were you speaking to me? You know, that often happens when the Holy Spirit works. And she said, no. He said, well, I promised my mom that I would meet her in heaven. He said, but the way I'm living, I know that's impossible. Well, she took the scriptures and right then and there led him to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, she took the time to reach out to someone. She went and volunteered at this mission, taught people about Jesus, young boys. She took the time. You know, that's what it, taking the gospel out is just taking the time to tell someone about Jesus Christ. Now, taking the gospel out requires effort. You know, I'm not going to tell you this morning, well, it's going to be easy. It requires effort to take the gospel out. We have to sacrifice some time if we're going to be witnesses. We got to sacrifice some energy if we're going to be witnesses. You think of the first church. The Bible says they were to take it to Samaria. Now think about Samaria. That wasn't in their local city. That was a little bit further away. Travel was slower then. I mean, they didn't have vehicles like we have today. They had to walk. Some of them may have caught a ride, but for the most part, most of them walked. So it was a trip for them to go to Samaria. Secondly, technology was limited. Especially compared to our generation. They had limited technology. Yet the Bible tells us that they took the gospel out. It took sacrifice and it took some effort for them to leave the city of Jerusalem and to go out. And also, they would face some discouragements. They would be limited in their resources. I would say their comforts. You know, what often happens, I think, is we get comfortable. That's why I like to have missionaries in. Not just because we can support them, but you know, missionaries remind the church of the importance of taking the gospel out. And when you listen to a missionary, a lot of times you hear men that have left the comforts behind to go to somewhere without comforts, even if it's just the comfort of having family nearby or the comfort of having a store down the street where they just go get whatever they want. They've left those comforts behind so they could reach out to people that are lost. You see, they remind us of the importance of taking the gospel out. Now, these people here, the first church, they had to go out. They had to take the gospel out. You know, I think a lot of people refuse to take the gospel out simply because it's a sacrifice. We haven't planned for it. You know, if you're going to look at your plans for the next year and you're going to say, well, I'm going to make plans to be a witness, you probably won't be a witness because we just won't plan to do it. We got to go out, allow the Holy Spirit to work, and look to be a witness for doors to open as we go through our day. And when the opportunity arises, then we take advantage of it. Now, I know this morning that things have changed in America compared to some places, or even how it's been in years past. And I know at some places you got to be careful what you say at work. You got to be careful of what you talk about. I understand that. I think the Lord understands that as well. That's when you pray for open doors and opportunities. And then you look for them. I tell you what, you never know. God may open up a door. Someone may ask you a question and open up a door. Or you can say, you know, let's take a walk. We'll go out here and, you know, talk over here about Christ and share the gospel with them. You see, God may open doors. We just got to pay attention and look for those and pray that God will open up those doors. You see, we're going to run into opposition as we take the gospel out. And the first church did as well. You know, I think it's interesting is this church appeared. The first church kind of moved slowly in this. They filled the city of Jerusalem with their doctrine rapidly. But the Bible tells us by the time we get to Acts chapter 8 that really none of them had went out. They were still in Jerusalem. And we find in Acts chapter 8, I've read it, but I'll read it again real quick in verse 1. The Lord moved this church, is what He did. It says in verse 1, Saul was consenting unto his death. At that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And it tells us that devout men carried Stephen to his burial, made a great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Notice verse 4. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. You know what happened, I think, is the Lord looked down upon the church and said they're too comfortable. The commission's been given. They've done an excellent job of reaching the city, but they haven't continued to carry out the other three areas. Judea next, and Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. So the Lord allowed some persecution to come in. You know, the Lord knows how to motivate us. I think He's the best motivator in this world. And He knows how to motivate us as a church. He knows how to motivate us as individuals. And sometimes it takes a little bit of difficulty or adversity for us to be motivated. You see, the Lord moved the church through persecution is what He did. Sometimes that's why the Lord will allow difficulties. Because we begin to take things seriously again. We begin to look at His Word and say, well, how should I be living? We begin to consider His commands and His direction. And then we begin to follow them again. You know, it's interesting, you read through history, the greatest revivals were often met with some of the greatest opposition. I think of George Whitefield, wonderful preacher, England and in America. You know, you think of the Great Awakening. He was a part of preparing the land of America for that through his preaching. You know what a lot of people don't talk about, though, is how many times he was persecuted. There are stories of him preaching and people coming with rocks to knock him off his pedestal. And some actually succeeding at times, hitting him and causing bruises and cuts with these rocks. You know, we all want to preach like Whitefield. We all want the success and we want to see the soul saved. But sometimes that comes with adversity as well. And that's what we need to understand. You'd think of Spurgeon and Moody and Torrey and some of the other great preachers. All those men, God bless, but all those men were also ridiculed greatly. At times they were mocked. They were the scorn of the world. You see, if we're going to serve the Lord, we may face that, but we need to continue faithfully to God. You see, the disciples here, they took the gospel to Judea, and they were faithful in that. Now the persecution came, and they went out, and they went to their Judea. Thirdly, notice we go back to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He says, Jerusalem, all Judea, and then he says, and in Samaria. Now, at first, this doesn't seem to be a big deal, but I think it was. Samaria was the region. If you're looking at a map, you have Jerusalem, Judea there. It's in the southern part of Israel. And Samaria was the middle portion of the land. So you would go directly north and you'd run into Samaria. That's where Samaria was. It's a different region and a different area. But here's the new problem or the new situation that this presented. They didn't like the Samaritans. And I'm talking about they, I say the Jews. The Jews and Samaritans did not get along at all. It goes back to 1 Kings chapter 16. We'll go back there. I'll show you. This is where Samaria came. The Bible tells us in 1 Kings chapter 16 that there we have Omri is his name. And this man was a wicked king or did evil in the sight of the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 16, it says here, and beginning in verse 23, this is the beginning or where we find the beginning of Samaria. Verse 23 says, in the 30 and first year of Asa, king of Judah, began Omri to reign over Israel. 12 years, 6 years reigned he in Tirzah, and he bought the hill of Samaria of Shemar for 2 talents of silver, and built on the hill and called the name of the city which he built after the name of Shemar, owner of the hill Samaria. Through the years, the city remained, and through the years, the region itself became known as Samaria. Well, during the years, or over time, the Samaritans began to, I guess you say, try to mix with the Jews, and the Jews wouldn't have it. During the time of Nehemiah, the Bible tells us that they wanted to help rebuild the city, and the Jews said, no, we don't want your help. That created problems. They didn't like the fact that they were rejected. So you know what they did? They eventually set up their own way of worship. They put their own temple up. They took their own worship, and they took some of the Old Testament scriptures, and they added it to and took away and pretty much created their own religion, so to speak. They had some things that were correct, but a lot of things that were wrong. Well, the Jews did not appreciate that. So you had a conflict. Let me tell you how bad this was. There were three routes from Jerusalem to Galilee. One of them went directly through Samaria. It was the quickest route as far as land is concerned, as far as time. And then the other two went around Samaria. A good Jew wouldn't even think of going through Samaria. They would go all the way around, either down the Jordan Valley or up the coast. But they wouldn't go through Samaria. That's why when you read the Gospels, you read of Christ going through Samaria. That's a big deal. For him to travel through Samaria and there proclaim the gospel and there see lives changed, that's a big deal because the Jews would have nothing to do with that area. You see, we find here this morning that Samaria was not only another area, another land, but Samaria was also a place where the Jews probably wouldn't think of going first. They may have thought, well, we'll go other places besides this. You know, what we find here is God called them to go to their enemy. Called them to go to those that opposed them, those that didn't see eye to eye with them. That's who they were called to take the gospel to. You see, when you think about this, that's difficult. You know, it's easy to go and take the gospel to someone who is friendly and happy and wants to talk with you, but it's difficult to go to someone who doesn't see eye to eye and may even oppose you on certain things and try to even create problems with you. That's difficult to take the gospel to them. But what did Jesus command us? Matthew 5, verse 44 tells us to love our enemies. Pray for them which despitefully use us and persecute us. You know, that's an easy verse to quote. Sometimes that's difficult to apply. But that's the teaching of our Lord and Savior. And what did Jesus do when he was on the cross? He gave us the example of it. He prayed and asked the Father to forgive those who put him up there. We couldn't ask for a better example. You know, we're to pray for our enemies. We're to take the gospel to them. You see, this morning, it's not for us to pick and choose who receives the gospel. That's what it comes down to. You know, it's not for us to look and say, well, I think you're deserving of the gospel. I'm going to take it to you. I think you will respond, so I'm going to take it to you. It's up to us to take the gospel out to everyone, including those that we may look and say, well, I don't think they have any interest. I don't think they would ever respond. Well, we don't know the heart. We don't know how God's working. We don't know what's been going on in their life. We need to take the gospel to them and let God work. You see, it's not for up to us to choose. It's up to us to go and allow the Spirit to work in their heart and be faithful. You see, Jesus Christ is the one that changes lives. Jesus Christ is the one who can work great works in the hearts of those even opposed against us. You know, we find in Acts chapter 8, and we're going to cover more of this in our future messages, but Acts chapter 8, that's what Philip did. That's what the church did. They went to Samaria. And the Bible tells us they saw great results. They saw people saved. You know, one person saved is a great result. I don't know about you. You know, we think of numbers. One person saved is a great result. I don't know about you. I'm thankful I'm saved. I'm thankful when I see a family member saved or a friend. One person saved is a great result. We find that they took the gospel to Samaria and they saw people saved. You see, even their greatest persecutor, Saul, who would later become the Apostle Paul, he was saved. You see, Jesus Christ changes hearts. He's changed hearts, many hearts, since then. There's a story of a man, from my understanding, it's a true story. A pastor in a large city was walking downtown, and there was a department store there that he had visited often. He knew the owner. Well, as he was going by, it just hit him one day as he was going by that he had never talked to that man about salvation. He had bought materials from that man. He had talked to that man about everything else. But he had never talked to him about salvation. And he said he just couldn't continue on without going in. So he went inside and he looked him up, found him back in his office. Went and he asked him, he told him this. He said, I have purchased office goods from you, materials from you. We've talked over many things, but I have never shared my business with you. Well, the man said, well, I got some time. So he sat there across his desk. He opened up the Bible And he began to show him salvation. He showed him the need to be saved, what sin was, and showed him that he could be saved. Well, this man, who was 70 years old, had been in business there for years, listened. And then his heart just broke. And right then and there, he trusted in Christ as his Savior. And he looked at the pastor and he said this, "I'm 70 years old. I was born in this city. I have done business with over 100 pastors and at least 500 believers." He said, "But you're the only one that's ever talked to me about my soul." Think about that. That's all it is, taking the gospel to people. You know, it's easy to look and think, well, someone's already told them. We don't know that. You don't know if someone has told them about the gospel. And here's another thought. You don't know if someone has told them, and when they told them, it was no big deal. But now things have changed in their life. And now they're ready to hear and listen. And God may use you to be a witness and a testimony to them. So we're to take the gospel, even if it's to those that we are enemies of or don't see eye to eye, or strangers. Here's the last one, and we find it to the uttermost part of the earth. It says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You know, the Lord didn't leave any area out. This covers it all. Every region in this world, everywhere someone might live, whether it's a large city or if it's a small village, whether it's high up in the mountains or it's in the jungles somewhere. Uttermost part of the earth. We're to take the gospel to everyone, everywhere. You see, that's the command that they were given. To reach all nationalities, all classes of people, and leave nobody out. You know, this morning, I think of the importance to take the gospel out. We're to take it to everyone, to the uttermost part of the earth. Now, of course, we as individuals, we can't be in two places at once. Some may not be called to be a missionary the other side of the world, but we can send missionaries, we can support them. As they take the gospel out, we can get involved in giving to missions. But you know, we can do our part where we are. Now think about the apostles for a minute. Could you imagine the apostles? The Lord tells them you've got to take it to the uttermost part of the earth. I know this morning, I think about that. I think, well, that's a big task. Now think about them for a minute. There's no indication that any one of those men was world travelers. There's no indication that any one of them had ever left Galilee until they went with Jesus down to Jerusalem. It's believed that none of them had ever left the land at this point in their life. This is all they knew. And on top of that, think about it. They didn't have resources like we have. I mean, they didn't have satellite images of the earth where they could look it all over and see the different parts of the land. To them, it was a large task. Yet that's what God commanded them to do. You know, that tells us this morning that the gospel is for everyone, is what it tells us. There are no barriers when it comes to Christ. Actually, Jesus Christ removed the barriers, is what he did. He removed the barriers between nationalities and says, all can come to me. Everyone is welcome with me. And we're to take the gospel to everyone, no matter what nationality they are, no matter what race they are, no matter what age they are, no matter what class they are, what they do for a living, we're to take the gospel to everyone. You see, we're all equal. When it comes to sin, we're all equal before God. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. We all need forgiveness. We all need salvation. You know, this morning, I hope and pray everyone here is saved. Hope you've trusted in Christ as your Savior. If not, that's the good news this morning. You can be saved. Bible says, repent of your sins and believe on Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, salvation is a personal matter between you and God. You're not going to get to heaven because your parents were saved. You're not going to get to heaven because you were raised in church. You're not going to get to heaven because you were good or any other reason. You're going to get to heaven because you've trusted Christ as your Savior, and that's it. And this morning, I hope for everyone here has made that decision. Not in words, but from your heart. You've trusted in Christ. You know, I did it in words once. I was younger. I thought, hey, everyone else did it. I got to do it. I did it in words, and later I realized I wasn't saved. There was no change in my heart. And then that's when the Lord really hit my heart. That's when the conviction took place. I realized I was a sinner. I needed God's forgiveness. I trusted in Christ as my Savior. You know, this morning, that's our responsibility, is to take that gospel out. You know, 1 Corinthians 15, look at verses 1 through 4, tells us what the gospel is. You know, people say this is the gospel in a nutshell, so to speak. Just a quick reference to the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, notice, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." In other words, he says, if it's just words, then it doesn't mean anything. But if you believed it in your heart, you didn't believe it in vain, then here's what it is. He says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel in a nutshell. Jesus Christ. He went to the cross. He died for our sin. Made atonement for sin. Then He went to the grave. But He didn't remain there. He arose and conquered death and the grave. You see, that's the gospel. That's why we can have life, because Jesus Christ has life. And that's the good news we share with people. You see, they can be saved because of Jesus Christ. Not because of us, but because of Jesus Christ. You know, this morning, that's our responsibility at Central Baptist Church, to take the gospel. As believers in general, we're to share it with other people. There was a missionary who went to China. His name was George Stott. He had one leg. And he was known in China. He became pretty much known because of that. He was a missionary in China with one leg. And someone asked him once why he, with one leg, would even think of going to China. And he said this. He says, "I don't see those with two legs going, so I must." And he went there for over 20 years. 20 years he went to China as a missionary. You see, it's just taking the gospel out. That's all that God's asked us to do. He'll do the miracle. He'll work in the heart. He'll take care of the rest. We just need to be faithful. You know, in closing this morning, most commentators believe that the gospel went out to the known world and even regions beyond within 30 years. You look at the Apostle Paul, how much he accomplished in a short time. You know, the more I think about it, the more amazing I think that is. And here's why. This was done before the printing press, radio, television, the internet. It was accomplished without cars, trucks, trains, planes. It was done without leadership manuals. It was done without marketing plans or schemes, administrative books, or any entertainment tools. We find it was done with the power of God. You see, here's what happened. This first church was given an order. They took it seriously, and God blessed. That's all that happened. They had commitment to Christ. They trusted in His power. They trusted in His strength. They trusted in His promises. And they went out and they spread the gospel. They told their family members the good news of salvation. They told their friends the good news of salvation. They told their neighbors the good news of salvation. They told the strangers they came across the good news of salvation. They just told people how they could be saved, how Christ had died for sinners. And God blessed. And though they were discouraged, they continued. They had commitment. Though they were persecuted, they pressed on. These people had commitment. According to Acts chapter 17, you know what it says about them? It says that they turned the world upside down. Talk about a comment. Turn the world upside down with the gospel. And you know, this morning, the world has changed since then, but the need has not. We have different technology, and obviously different people are living in our world today. But they still need a Savior. They still need to know that there is hope in life. That there is more to this life than what they see. That there is a Savior. There is forgiveness. There is new life. That they can be blessed by God. You see, that's the message we have. And it's our responsibility to take that out so others can be blessed just like we are. Dear Lord, I thank You for this day. Thank You for the blessings You've given to us. I pray today as we have this invitation, if You have worked in anyone's heart here this morning, and Well, Lord, if You impressed upon their heart the need to be saved, I pray that they'll get that settled with You. And for those that are saved, Lord, I pray that this will just encourage us and challenge us. I pray it's a reminder to us of the importance of taking the gospel out. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask you to keep your heads bowed and eyes closed for a few minutes. We're going to have a time of invitation. And this is a time where you can seek the Lord in prayer. If God has worked in your heart here this morning, in any way at all, I encourage you to seek Him in prayer. Maybe you want to pray for our church. Let's pray that God will give us the strength to take the gospel out. Let's pray that people will receive the gospel, that we'll see souls saved. Let's pray that God will bring revival to the city, and that it'll be through us. Maybe you're here this morning. There's someone here that has questions concerning salvation. Please come down. If you have any questions, we can take the Bible and show you how to be saved, what the Bible says concerning sin and salvation in Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here this morning and you got someone in your family or you got a friend on your heart and you want to pray for them. Pray for their soul. Pray that their heart will be softened. Pray that you'll be given an opportunity to be a witness to them and that they'll be saved. You know, there's power in prayer. There's power in prayer because of God, because of Jesus Christ.